Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour three, G-Bag Nation 105 through the fan. Rangers and Diamondbacks coming up pregame at 6:30. They'll be off tomorrow. Have a full show tomorrow. Our NFL schedule tailgate show. Cannot wait. Okay.
We should have Hellman co-host that with us tomorrow.
Yeah,
we should.
Yeah.
I can get Dave in. I can get anybody in on this.
S-ing on the
get
skin.
In on this with me, boys. Come on.
Yeah, that was hilarious from Dave, though.
I knew he was going to poo-poo on it. I know Dave well enough now.
Yeah.
He's not a fan of that one.
And I mean, it was, what I said is genuine. Part of me totally agrees with him.
Yeah.
I hate it, too. But at the same time, it's fun getting opportunity to look at these matchups. And we're never that far off from a football conversation here on the fan. We don't need much of an excuse for it. So, hell yeah, we're going to do a tailgate countdown show for the schedule release tomorrow. When we get off at 7, Fred and Blake will jump in, and the NFL Network and ESPN are going to have a two-hour special to talk about it. So I'm sure they'll be breaking it down as it all becomes official. But I would not be surprised if, with your insiders and text and Broadus,
I think this is going to we're going to be able to put out the majority of this thing, I think.
Badass. Well, in the meantime, here's Wolchuk with your football fix.
All right, let's get our fix right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
Well, speaking of good old schedule leaks, how about these? We do have a new Thanksgiving game that has been dropped as the Lions are going to host the Bears on Thanksgiving.
Ooh, ooh.
So we know the Thanksgiving Eve game will be a Netflix special, which will be the Packers at the Rams. And Eric, you were asking, like, okay, well, when the hell are they going to play the week before?
Yeah, if you're playing on a Wednesday, when was your previous game? Was it the Thursday before? Were you playing a Thursday night game? But you can't have both those teams playing on Thursday night and then playing again together on Wednesday. So I am curious.
Bye. The bye week is the speculation. Both of those will have a bye week in week 11, and then they will play the Wednesday night game of week 12. So that is what's being floated out right now.
I can't imagine they're going to appreciate that.
Maybe not. Maybe not, especially the Rams, who are doing quite a bit of international travel this year. In fact,
they got two of them.
I believe they do. I mean, they start the season off against San Francisco. They got the opener in Australia.
Melbourne.
In terms of the travel, it is the 49ers and the Rams. Those are the top two teams with the most miles logged this year. The Texans at 3 and then the Cowboys at 4. Cowboys are going to be traveling 27,980 miles, which is, I mean, the 49ers are at 38,105. That is crazy.
Really?
Least amount of travel is the Carolina Panthers, 8,740.
That is what a discrepancy.
Crazy,
dude.
Absolutely nuts.
A team is traveling 40,000 some odd miles, and another team is traveling less than 10,000.
Wild. Now, the other Thanksgiving game that's being floated out, Scott Zolak is saying that he is hearing rumors the Patriots are going to be playing the Chiefs on Thanksgiving. So we know the Thanksgiving Eve, that's Packers Rams, and I would anticipate the Cowboys would then play the following Thursday against one of those teams. Maybe they go to Green Bay. That makes a lot of sense to me because then Micah probably back for that, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be going to the Rams. But I think Cowboys at Green Bay would be one that I'll throw out there as a guess for Week 13. But that would be a heck of a banger slate. I mean, you've got Rams-Packers Wednesday night. Then on Thursday, we start off with Bears-Lions, which should be a competitive game. You would hope both those teams going at it. Ben Johnson returning to to Detroit. Then you got Cowboys-Eagles, and then Chiefs or Patriots. Could be fun. I like that.
Yeah, I think the NFL saw that the Chiefs are quite the draw as well on Thanksgiving.
And they can do absolute numbers.
Yeah, they can.
Even if they're stinking.
Generational wealth in one afternoon here.
Yeah, that would be quite the schedule.
That might be the greatest slate I've ever heard of.
That's pretty damn good, right?
Yeah.
We say that now, and then Drake May, Mahomes, Goff, and Caleb Williams are all going to be dinged up. And it's just going to be a bunch of non-playoff teams and backup quarterbacks duking it out.
And did the Bears have a pop-up year last year, Wolchuk, or are they legit?
Your football gut telling you?
I lean the Bears are actually pretty legit, but I was a believer in Caleb Williams coming in. So, like, I thought Caleb Williams had all the talent. I think he's finally got the offensive mind to help him with this and Ben Johnson. And I think defensively with Al Harris, that dude just finds a way to get turnovers for his secondary. So I think the Bears are going to be legit, and I do expect Detroit to get back into the playoffs. The Lions were a team last year that I faded, and that was one of my bold predictions. They'd miss the playoffs. I think the Lions get back in it this year. And the team that I think will not make it will be Green Bay. I think the Packers are going to struggle this year. I think they're going to be like a 500 football team. I just don't love the roster. But for the Cowboys, I always am scared bleepless when it comes to the Packers. Just hasn't been a good history in my lifetime. I know for Brian, it was the other way. But outside of the 90s, Cowboys-Packers, it has not gone our way, unfortunately. Maybe that can change this year. Now, here was some international games. This was wild because, like, Joe Burrow called his shot a year ago. He put out on Instagram, Bengals in Spain. Can we play the Dolphins in Madrid? Could this please be true? Well, they are going to play in Madrid. It's just not going to be the Miami Dolphins, as the NFL unveiled the international slate of games, and it will be Cincinnati against Atlanta. So Bengals-Falcons will be the Madrid game. You got Patriots-Lions will be a Munich game. Vikings-Niners in Mexico City, Week 11. Colts-Commandos in London. And then the Jags home games in London. They'll take on the Eagles and the Texans. So that, of course, goes with Ravens-Cowboys. Now, that leads us to a very special edition. Eric Chiafalo, are you ready for this?
I don't know.
Guess that spread! International edition, baby!
Yeah, neutral sites.
Woo! Let's go! Week 1, Thursday, September 10th, 49ers against the Rams from Melbourne. A Netflix extravaganza. Guess that spread, Gavin Dawson.
Okay, let me get the Rams favored by 3.5.
Ooh, very good guess.
I was thinking 3.5. I'll just take the 3 and feel good about it, Wolchuk.
All right, 2.5. Rams by 2.5. So you guys are pretty darn all over this thing. All right, back to you, Eric Chiafalo. Week 3, Sunday, September 27th, 3:25 on CBS. Ravens, Cowboys. Guess that spread.
Give me Ravens by 1.5.
Ooh, Dawson.
I think he's on it, but the way you answered that.
Did the ooh shake you a little bit?
It seems like he might be 2 points off.
Damn.
I'm going to go Ravens by 3.
Dang, I'm going to meet you guys in the middle here. 2.5 Ravens favored here.
Wow, so they think the Ravens are better than the Cowboys by the same amount that the Rams are better than the Niners.
They do. Giving some love to Dallas there. Now, Sunday, October 4th, Gavin Dawson, Colts, Commanders. Hotspur Stadium in London, 8:30 a.m. kick on NFL Network. Guess that spread.
What's the date on this?
This is Sunday, October 4th.
Jones back?
See, that's a question.
Is a question. I'm going to lean yes, but
that was an Achilles in like November.
Yeah, almost a year.
Okay, and I'll go Colts minus 2.
Okay,
give me a pick 'em, dude.
Commanders 1.5.
Okay.
Favored in this one. Eagles Jags, Sunday, October 11th. Eric.
Eagles Jags.
Wembley Stadium in London.
Ooh, that's a matchup right there.
It's actually a fun one, yeah.
You can actually consider this a Jags home field advantage because they play there so often.
They're going to play back to back games there. They'll host Houston the next week.
Yeah. This is the toughest one. I'll go Jags. Jags by 1.5.
Okay.
By the time we get there, I think the Jags will be favored by at least a field goal. But right now, I'll go Philly minus 2.
Philly by 1.5. Good call there. All right, let's stick in your wheelhouse, Dawson. October 25th, Week 7, Sunday. This one's in Paris, 8:30 a.m. Steelers taking on the Saints.
Little breakfast ball.
Oh, wow. Man, Saints are bad, aren't they?
Saints are bad, but Steelers are about average.
They're on the come up,
they're
though.
They're kind of a sexy pick to win that division this year.
Everybody's believing in Shuck now.
Yeah, it's
the
weird.
Shuck boys got some love.
I'm still not going to believe in him. I know Bobby's believing in him because Shuck and Kellen Moore were his guys, but I'm going to still, I can't. I can't believe in Shuck until he puts up more consistency.
I mean, if Rodgers doesn't come back, it could be Shuck against Aller, which would be a bleep show. I'd feel horrible for the folks of Howard.
Is Mike McCarthy really telling Drew Aller, like, forget everything you know? We're going to start from the beginning here.
I could see that. The McCarthy QB school, he takes it very seriously. He thinks he knows all.
Just forget
He's
it
like,
all.
Guys, I got the answers. I'm doing the same drills I did 30 years ago with quarterbacks. Trust me.
I was doing this with Aaron Brooks in 91.
Yeah,
trust
I'm a genius,
bro.
Okay, did you see what Dak did with me?
I'll go Pittsburgh by 3.5.
All right, Eric?
I'll go Pittsburgh by 2.5.
1.5 Steelers favored there. All right, let's get one more in. We'll go Sunday, November 15th, Week 10, New England taking on Detroit from Munich, FC Bayern Munich Stadium in Germany.
Oh, it's another tough one, dude.
Yep.
Give me Lions by 2.
Lions by 2. I like it. Gavin?
Wow, I don't really believe in either of those teams. Let me go New England. No, they've lost. Do they have a wide receiver 1?
Well,
they do.
They're going to be A.J. Brown.
New England minus 1.
I think once that trade's made, you're right. But right now, they're going Lions by 1.5. Now, speaking of A.J. Brown, you have Austin Stanley, co-founder of A to Z Sports and a Titans content creator. He is alleging that Mike Vrabel's relationship with Diana Rossini has resulted in the leaking of inside information that directly has affected multiple NFL transactions over at least 4 consecutive seasons, including two of the most consequential moves in recent AFC South history. We go to the 2022 NFL draft, in which Rossini, who was scheduled to be in Indy to cover the draft for ESPN, instead stayed in
Nashville.
Tennessee. Nashville.
Yes.
Where Vrabel was the head coach at the time. And during this time, Rossini broke the story of the Titans' blockbuster and unexpected trade of
A.J. Brown
to the Eagles.
I'm working on something really big here in Nashville,
yeah,
guys.
Which was a franchise-altering move that sent one of the best receivers in the league to the opposite conference, with Stanley alleging that Vrabel fed her the information directly. Probably not a giant leap. Then the following year,
kind of leap. Do we have war room cam footage of the two of them
canoodling? Maybe that's the next thing to come out. TMZ will have that soon. Next year, Stanley reports that Rossini published a tweet, which she later deleted, in addition to purging her entire Twitter account and making her Instagram private, claiming that the Titans had withdrawn their trade offer to the Arizona Cardinals for the number 3 pick after C.J. Stroud was selected by Houston. So they're looking to go up to go get Stroud. Stroud gets taken. Now they no longer are offering the trade. Houston seemingly reacts to this Rossini report about the Titans' interest. They trade back up. And what do? They take Will Anderson Jr. at 3. So they went back to back.
Great pick, man.
They're like, oh my gosh. So they surrendered further draft capital. So in his first year in the NFL, Stroud then named Pro Bowl Offensive Rookie of the Year, while also quarterbacking the Texans now to 3 straight postseasons. If Stanley's reporting is accurate here, that means that Vrabel's alleged information leak didn't just help Rossini break news, but it actively here influenced another franchise's draft decisions. Oh my gosh.
Wow, dude. So
big
there's
deal,
actually.
Or is he reaching?
It's hard to say if she impacted or just reported what the facts were, and the facts were already in the process of impacting.
Like, if she doesn't report this, does somebody else then report this? And in whatever, regardless, yeah, in the space-time continuum of NFL moves that then the domino effect of all of this, does it still end up happening regardless? Or is her reporting strictly the lone result of why the Texans then say, oh my God, another team's trying to move up to 3. We better just do this now and get Will Anderson Jr. And The A.J. Brown stuff.
Yeah.
The A.J. Brown stuff, I think, is whatever.
No, but it ultimately backfires on the Titans because now Will Anderson is a Texan in your division and just eating your lunch at least twice a year.
Yeah,
is one
like
of the
I
best defenders in football.
Titan fans are like, what the hell?
And it really doesn't matter, but it's like the worst-kept secret in football and sports is like the leagues select who the insiders are and they feed them info. And they agree to not break stuff. So Russini is like breaking that protocol. There's news happening that they don't want getting out. And if you do that enough, then I think somebody wants you fired. Like, this wasn't okay with the NFL, like these kinds of leaks. You know, stuff gets out and they're okay with it getting out. If you report stuff that they're not okay with getting out, they take away your access. You know, but I think maybe Russini didn't need access because of, you know, where her pipeline of information, you know, was direct from the spigot, if you will. Yeah,
she was getting access.
Yes, she was.
She was an insider of a different sort.
I mean, 469 said Rabel was feeding Russini a mouthful.
Absolutely.
Of information.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I and she was crushing it. You know, I think ultimately the fans lose on this one because there will be less inside information and there will be only league approved inside information now. She was the people's champ in a lot of ways.
Bring her back. Okay. I miss her.
Bring her back. We got to run. We got Sports Hodgepodge coming up, Chief. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, we got some trouble in La La Land, man. That's next.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to the nation.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Jared Sandler's coming up in an hour. We can ask him more about the Evaldi situation. A little breaking news on Evaldi. We'll get to here in just a second. Then we'll get a hodgepodge. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Never an out-of-pocket cost. Only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Before we get to this hodgepodge, well, Chuck, what do we know about Evaldi right now?
Yeah, so he threw a bullpen today, and the Rangers beat is reporting that he said he feels good and he should be ready to go Sunday against Houston.
Let's freaking go.
So great news.
Yes.
And then it is SpongeBob night out of the Globe. So we got baseball time in Bikini Bottom. The Rangers are going to be giving away tonight an exclusive co-branded SpongeBob SquarePants Texas Rangers jersey collab. It actually looks pretty
badass. Does it look cool?
It does look cool.
I love that, man. That's great stuff. These promotional items that the Rangers are doing these days.
SpongeBob and baseball, man. That's what Texas does.
Yeah, you'd look great in one of these, Eric. I'm going to send you the picture of this.
You think so?
I think if anyone's going out and is able to get their hands on an extra Ranger SpongeBob jersey, we need to get one of these for Eric. Next time we're at the Globe, he can rep this like his Rangers, Power Rangers one.
You know I love free gear, man.
I know you do.
I take it every time.
All righty, here's Eric Chiafalo with his Sports Hodgepodge.
Yeah, man, I think we got some trouble in Lakerland, and gosh dang it, Wemby is starting to bug me right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to
is
guys?
The home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket Sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude motherfucker.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
It just sucks seeing Wemby in a Spurs uniform just dominating, dude. It does. It's annoying. What he did to Rudy Gobert last night was just disrespectful. The spin cycle that he put Rudy Gobert in last night
is unbelievable.
That is an all-time highlight. He did the MJ, like, one-hand ball thing where he's like, He's toying with you like you're a child, and Gobert's spinning around like
he's hooping with his nephews.
Lucius, watching Wemby is ridiculous. He was awesome last night, and like they poked the bear. He walks in and he's like, "I'm going to give you 16 points before you can even start to breathe." Okay. Yeah. And then credit to the T-Wolves, man, because they fought back. They tied the game in the third quarter. Okay, we got ourselves a ball game. And then Castle and Harper and the rest of these guys with the Spurs, they go ahead and get the job done. But
if this game is going to slow down to the point he can start toying with the opposition, I'm done. You know,
that's like a
just let me know when he's retiring.
Yeah.
And I'll start pulling for my teams to win the championship again.
I don't know. Like, and then you have the Thunder situation and their dominance. You're like, this is.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
This is pretty aggravating. And like for Rudy Gobert, I don't know how you're able to like lace him up again after that. Like, like that film session has to be as embarrassing as any NBA players ever experienced.
I love the reactions that this Spurs teammate is giving, whether it's the elbow to the face.
Harper just loves it all.
Dude, that's where the camera's got to go as soon as Wemby does anything.
He's in awe of Wemby. Like, I see this every day. I travel with him. I practice with him. I play with him. And I'm still, like, jaw to the floor, bug-eyed, eyebrows high. I can't believe I just witnessed that.
I mean, you're getting the memes of his domination and the Harper memes at the same time. But this is every bit as good as we feared. I think there's some Olajuwon to it. There's some Shaq vibes to it. Like, this is what it felt like from about 99 to 2004 with Shaq in that small window where he had experience. He wasn't too fat yet and still had his legs. And it was just like, nobody can stop this.
Nobody can.
You just wait until it's over. But, yeah, he's going to win 2, 3, 4 in a row. And I think Wemby is of the quality that they're going to be able to cycle the supporting cast around him.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamics that impact the Celtics, the Nuggets, it's like, hey, we got a championship, and now your roster is going to get eaten alive because you can't afford to keep it together. I think with San Antonio, they'll just be like, we'll just get other role players. And as long as the guys can shoot around Wemby, rebound and defend, we're going to be fine.
Yeah, youngest player in NBA history with a playoff game with 25 or more points, 15 or more boards, 5 or more assists, 3 or more blocks. That's what Wemby did last night. His first 9 playoff games are better than Tim Duncan's were. More rebounds, more blocks, better true shooting percentage, and the points per game is basically identical, but you have Tim Duncan playing over 40 minutes per game in those, and Wemby's playing under 29 minutes per game in his first 9. NBA playoff games. Like, it's totally ridiculous, and opponents are shooting like under 25% when Wemby is the one contesting the shot.
Yeah, last night he allowed, I think, just 2 field goals.
Yeah.
The entire game, 12 forced misses, 3 blocks, according to Hoopology. The dude's, and he, of course, leads the league in blocks per game.
Yeah.
Like, he's a cheat code.
Yeah, he
is. The game was played at a lesser pace back then, but per minute efficiency is, you know, still, it's goatish. And I saw a quote earlier that maybe this is going to turn the LeBron MJ conversation into who was second best.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. We finally get relief from the LeBron MJ conversation.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
got to stay healthy. It's hard to do at that size.
And I think that's really the only question at this point is just, can he stay healthy enough to keep this going for a decade? Now, speaking of LeBron and that whole situation, now that the Lakers season is over, you start to get all the reports, okay? The hurt feelings, the frustrations. What's going to happen with LeBron? Is he going back to L.A.? On March 31st, the Lakers defeated the Cavs, and LeBron broke the record for the most wins by an individual in NBA history. Compiler stat of all compiler stats, but it still hits 1,229. That broke the record. In the same game, though, you had Luka passing 15,000 points. You had Rui Hachimura passing 5,000 points, and you had JJ Redick reaching his 100th win as a head coach. So it was a big time milestone type game for the Lakers.
Pretty crazy. All of that happened the same night.
Yeah. And it's all versus the Cavs, too.
Jeez.
You know? So it was a pretty big day. Well, after the game, JJ Redick's running through all the milestone stuff, congratulating everybody. And then Rob Pelinka comes in, Lakers GM, and he gives the game ball to J.J. Redick. He doesn't give the game ball to LeBron. Doesn't give it to anybody else. It really would only be LeBron or J.J. They both reached pretty significant milestones. And they actually had a video. They threw to a video of J.J. Redick's two sons, like, congratulating their dad on win 100. And then Pelinka gives J.J. Redick the game ball. And apparently that irked LeBron. It was an example of the Lakers taking him for granted. And that didn't sit right with him.
They're probably signaling and maybe sending him a message, we're moving on.
Weren't they kind of doing that all last offseason? Like, leading into the year, it felt like there were all those reports.
They stopped listening to his trade ideas like 2 years ago. You know,
they're building around Luka and phasing him out.
So it sucks for LeBron, I'm sure. But I think LA has always looked at him more like Pat Riley with the Heat. Like, you're part of this organization, but we're not going to let you dictate everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and then now you have a LA radio host going on Cleveland radio. His name's Bill Reeder, or Bill Ryder.
Bill is Ryder than you.
He's a sports talk host in Los Angeles. And he says, quote, I know LeBron and Luka don't get along very well.
That's pretty stunning. I mean, going from Luka's rookie year where he's like in awe of LeBron, and it's the one time you kind of saw him star-studded and shell-shocked by him. I guess maybe don't meet your heroes type of thing.
Well, and I don't know what the real dynamic is here, if this is even true, but this guy's pretty close to things as a sports talk host in Los Angeles. And you heard LeBron reference after the game the other night, like, man, I've had to do things that I've never had to do in my entire life, be the third option. Like, maybe that didn't totally sit well with him. And maybe
should we ask Sedano?
Yeah. Yeah, right, yeah.
Let me text George.
Yeah, hit up George.
I'll pull Abradis here.
He's right down
just
there.
Ask Sedano.
Yeah, just get your gang of seven, you know, and see what he thinks about that particular report. But that's where things stand right now. You have some general managers anonymously in the league just thinking that LeBron's going to end up going to Cleveland and doing that thing. Maybe it ends up being the Knicks if the Knicks, for whatever reason, can't win the title this year.
Okay.
If they get blasted in the finals or something, maybe it's LeBron going to New York. And then, I mean, what a moment that would be if LeBron is able to assist the Knicks in getting their first title in forever. You know, that would be quite the way to kind of close things down as the final chapter. But the Cavs obviously make sense as well.
I mean, I would love the idea, and maybe this is doable now that both of his kids are out of the house in college and the pros, of just like choosing a team every year and playing for league minimum for as long as I can be like this 20.5 assist level player.
Yeah.
Who needs a championship?
Yeah.
You know, and can I help you get there? As a role player, as a third or fourth best player, I think he's still got that in him.
He's like Will Smith in the bullpen. He went like Rage, Rangers. Yeah. Like every year, whoever Will Smith goes, he ends up winning a championship. That's LeBron.
I just love the idea that LeBron is sitting there in the team meeting room waiting for his game ball, and then all of a sudden J.J. Redick's sons come up on the video, and he's just mother bleeping these 10-year-old kids. Are you effing kidding me? Are you kidding me?
It's 100 damn wins.
He's got his own son on the team, okay, and he thinks the Lakers are taking him for granted.
So do you think they want him back at their price, or they want to move on? And it's up to LeBron to see if he wants to live elsewhere.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what it is.
I think the Golden State idea is the most likely.
Okay, yeah, you also have the Golden State idea as well, which
Clippers might play. They want to win now.
Yeah, maybe that's the way to stick it to the Lakers a little bit. Just stay right there in L.A. and help them. I don't know. I mean, there's certainly some options. Knicks, Cavs, Warriors, or back with the Lakers. I don't know.
If it goes to the Celtics. They trade Jaylen Brown for
I don't see him wanting to go to the Celtics, but maybe. I mean, if you think
Celtics-Lakers rivalry, if you're Lakers wants to.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, that's kind of where I was going, just like pure pettiness.
But he's frustrated. He's maybe got some jealous cooked up inside of him, and I do as well. Because did you see Sean and RJ?
No, what happened?
Did you see they got their own coffee?
They did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
They got their own coffee?
Yeah,
Just Love Coffee. And I do love Just Love Coffee. Grand Prairie, Arlington. Mm-hmm. But now you can go in there, and you will be supporting the Sandlot Children's Charity, which is special. But the Ethiopian something kind of coffee and it's Sean and RJ's brand. They have their own coffee.
It sounds delicious.
Do I have a little bit of jealousy?
Absolutely.
Yes, I do. Okay, I would like to have a little G-Bag Nation coffee cooked up. I mean, I don't know what would our product be. Would it be coffee?
Espresso?
I think we're all other than Broadus, but majority rules, bro. We're all coffee people.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd love a little G-Bag Nation branded coffee. I'd be drinking the heck out of that thing. So congratulations to Sean and RJ. I'm not envious. I'm not annoyed.
Did you just skip the next word after Ethiopian?
I did.
Because I don't know how to say it either. Yurga Chef?
Your guess is as good as mine on that one, man.
Right.
Ethiopian Yurga Chef wash something or other.
It's vanilla tea-like citrus.
They make a good coffee bean in Ethiopia.
I don't doubt
it. Ain't that the origins? Doesn't coffee come from there, right? Am I tripping?
Original coffee?
Yeah, I think so.
Coffee was invented in Ethiopia?
You're the smartest on the show.
Don't get out there, bro. You probably saw a documentary on it.
And
it's somewhere in the files of your brain, and you nailed it.
I could be close.
I'm going with it, man.
I'll Google it, but I think you're right.
Congrats to Sean and RJ, man. They've done it again.
Coffee originated in the ancient coffee forests of the Ethiopian plateau.
Bow!
Look at our wild coffee plants.
Coffee guy of the day, Lucius Alexander, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to take my keys and go home. That's it for me.
Damn right.
Did pretty good today.
You deserve your own coffee, Lucius. I don't think Sean and RJ knew that. I don't think they know that they are drinking the coffee that was where it was invented.
Nectar of the
birth of coffee.
OG coffee.
OG coffee. That's what they have. Shout out to Just Love.
Yeah, some Sufi monks had the idea in the 15th century, we should take these beans and brew them, and bang, there it went.
G-Brew Nation copy.
Salute to you guys.
G-Brew Nation.
Five thoughts on the Cowboys schedule release. Sandler coming up in 20 if you missed it. Evo said it'll be good to go on Sunday. We'll get Sand's thoughts on that and more coming up at 5:20, and we're back here in the neighborhood.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about 30 minutes away from Jared Sandler joining us there at 5:20. He'll tell you what you need to know about this rubber match coming up pregame at 6:30 with the Diamondbacks in town. Breaking news earlier this hour, Nathan Eovaldi threw a bullpen, feels like he'll be able to make his next scheduled start, which is Sunday. So that is fantastic news. And on top of that, if you missed it, Nimmo's ankle roll, not bad. He's going to be back.
Yeah, he is.
So a couple of scares this week in the injury department for a team that can't take any more injuries. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's at the tipping point in that outfield, especially with Langford out already. So we've been on the receiving end of some good developments here throughout today's show. All righty. Todd Archer writing today or yesterday on ESPN, the makeover of the Cowboys defense is complete. And I wonder what all he's working on there. Do you think he talked with sources that said we're done here after they brought in the corner from Philadelphia last week?
Oh, Adoree Jackson
for the little
workout.
There hasn't been anything else, and Todd mentioned that. Like, you know, we might be at that stage of free agency, and I just hope that the Cowboys are at least open minded to things falling their way. Like they've said, player acquisition is a 365-day-a-year. Type of deal. So, man, what if the linebackers aren't what you imagine? Or if you have an injury, you're just going to be like, well, I guess we're going with young guys. We're going to see what Barham can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about Barham, but I think that's maybe a project. Any third-round pick is a project, you know?
Sure. You don't want to pencil in a third-round pick as this is going to be your starter, but I think that there is high expectation for him in the building. And Jesse Holly was on DLLS. He actually got to talk to the rookies there at the Star, and he said the guy that really impressed him, just paraphrasing, was Barham. I mean, he looked at him and said, I'm here to take somebody's job. Like, this guy understands the task and has the confidence and just carries himself in a way that really stood out and impressed Jesse. But I think this is probably one of those things, and we've experienced this out there, where they're probably done until August when they're out there at camp, and they kind of get a feel for their team when they're like, you know what, let's bring in Carl Lawson. Let's bring in, you know, last year was like Lyle Collins. Now that was due to injury, right? But let's work out Justin Houston and these guys. So maybe that's where, you know, a Clowney addition happens. We're out there in August, and they kind of, okay, yeah. we do need a linebacker. We do need to add another outside corner, and that's where maybe there's another addition to be made.
I think with young players, it's important to put that carrot out there and say, okay, is it Barham? Are we going Barham?
Yeah, I believe it is Barham. That's why I've kind of started to call him Jayshon Barham. I think that's how he pronounces it.
He goes Barham, and I would love a Barham. Thank you very much. You know, why not? Wrap it up in some cellophane, hand you a bar of ham.
Yeah, bar ham.
Bar ham over bar turkey, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we need that one well established.
Over bar chicken,
bar bacon,
bar beef.
But you take a bar ribeye over anything.
Bar pork?
Bar ribeye. You know, a bar of filet mignon. I don't think filet mignon gets the credit that it should.
Dude, thank you. There's been like an anti-filet push out there.
Yeah.
Like it's the lazy cheesecake.
Yeah,
it's
I think it's considered lazy.
I think it's the lady cheesecake.
It's the filet is the most feminine steak.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want a real clean, like lowest fat you can get type of operation, the filet mignon.
Really nice tiny little size. It's
super expensive.
Yes. Very expensive.
Wouldn't fill up an adult.
Wait, what about a baseball filet? Is that a little bit more manly for you? Is that sexy?
You know, while we're talking steak,
I
have decided recently the move up to the prime grade isn't worth it. At Costco, like a tray of filet mignon prime, you're looking at about $100.
Oof.
The one step down is $55. So you're saving $45 for the same weight of steak.
Wow.
Better, a little better marbling. But
yeah.
Over the years, cooking that highly marbled steak as compared to the less marbled, I don't think it's worth the extra, basically doubling the price per pound.
So the marbling potentially overrated because I got so many. I mean, my algorithm is filled with like
butcher
videos, and I see them cut down these steaks, and you see that marbling. And I mean, from an eye test standpoint, you're like, I want that.
Okay.
I feel like I need that, but you've actually experienced it. I haven't had the super dominant marbling.
Try out the prime.
I pass on the Wagyu all the time, even though it looks amazing. I see it at the butcher shop, and I'm like, I'm not spending that much money.
You're going straight grass fed.
I think it's a brand thing. I think it's a brand thing, or you believe it, or we've made it more expensive, so people are like, oh, that must be way better. I don't think maybe it is 5% better. You know, maybe,
but not double.
No, it's
double the price. Better.
My eating experience is not twice as
not
good.
Worth it.
What's the Franklin injury attorney text line think about that? Prime meats are a scam, says the 903. Okay, and that's East Texas. East Texas would know about this. That's beef country right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heck yeah, it is.
Porterhouse or the T-bone is the best. You know, I'm not going to fight you on what you prefer. I just think the filet mignon deserves that recognition as being really good. 573, Dawson, you're spot on. Sous vide those bad boys, and you get the same tenderness with less cost. I don't mind the sous vide. You know, that's when you put it in the bag and you boil it, basically, to get it to the precise internal temp.
It was intimidating.
Then sear that thing.
No, Sean actually gave me a sous vide deal to try, and I did.
You never did it.
I didn't get as far enough to actually follow through with it. I was too intimidated by the entire, like, the whole sealing process. I'm like, I'm going to bleep this up. And then he made fun of me on air. I returned it to him. I think he's re-gifted to somebody else. My charter friend Jared swears by it, and I've been to his house, and he knows how to sous vide this thing. It's probably easier, and I'm overcomplicating it, but it's like the waffle maker at a hotel. I'm like, I'm gonna F this up.
I think the most important thing about a steak, though, correct me if I'm wrong, is the sear and the grill marks.
I'm with
the flame, and how it dances with the salt and the fat.
You want it to touch the fire,
you know? And with the sous vide, you're getting the perfect tenderness, you're getting the perfect internal temperature, but
you got to have that crust on there.
Yeah, but yeah. So you're having to warm up the grill anyway to put that sear on it. And where are you pulling it now? Am I pulling it at 115 and throwing it for the sear in the extra 10, 15 degrees? I don't know. I might as well just grill the whole thing. if I'm getting that involved with it already. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. We got football's finest coming up next, then Jared Sandler. Buddy, where are you taking us here in the finest?
The most confident man in football, and an NFL insider has something interesting to say about our Cowboys. That is next here in the Nation.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.